Okay, so let's talk a little bit about some of the terms and concepts that will come up in Maseches Eruvin. And specifically, we'll focus on the first perek, because of later prakim change in terms of what they're going to discuss. But just to get a little bit of the fear out of the way for what Maseches Eruvin is all about, I think if we come in knowing basically what we're dealing with and what all the discussions will be concerning, so we'll be in much better shape to tackle the Masechta with confidence and feel good about ourselves. So the number one thing, I think, bizmaneinu, that we can do to make Maseches Eruvin enjoyable and understandable to the greatest extent is to get a hold of one or more types of pictures. Some of the art scrolls or the various translations, they have incorporated some of the various publications of pictures into the Gemaras. If you have that, that's phenomenal. I happen to be using a picture here from the Maor Hamavur, which is from Maorus Hadafyomi, which is they did a fantastic job. The original, I believe it was the original picture book, was the Perish Chai, which probably did the best job in terms of covering all the shitos and really giving you the most possible pictures. But in terms of the quality of the images, it's evolved somewhat, and really you have these beautiful full color computer generated images, which are, I think that unto itself makes things more enjoyable and more clear. So although you might want to have the Pirush Chai on hand in order to perhaps see a greater number of pictures or to see all the different shitos and the Rishonim that they cover, which is great, but definitely try, if you can afford it or if you can get it, to use one of these color picture books, which are just fantastic and so helpful to not, being afraid of seeing the cases in the Masechta. That being said, once you've seen the pictures, Rashi's descriptions and his explanations of how these things work are just unbelievable. Rashi Kedarko Bakodesh really just does an unbelievably great job of describing what you'll see. And there are some images that are even written in. I don't know who wrote them into the Rashi's, but it's not nearly as helpful as these fancy books. But I think you can really appreciate what Rashi did once you actually see the picture and then you hear how Rashi described it. He really hit it on the head, as always. So in terms of the things that we'll cover, as you can see by the opening of the Masechta, that the topic of discussion in the first parak is a mavui, and how you're masaking a mavui to allow yourself to carry inside the mavui. Now, there are, if you look at image number one, and again, just I got rishus from the publisher to scan this picture, but this is the first page in the book, but they said specifically don't distribute it, and certainly don't make any money off of it. So please just look, but don't copy any of these or print any of them. That's not what it's for. Get yourself a copy if you like this page, and buy yourself a copy of Hamaor Hamavur. And give them the business for helping out with this. But the opening picture shows a picture of the three basic places that we're going to care about in the first parak, specifically the Rishus HaRabim, which, if you recall from the opening parak in Maseches Shabbos, there are four Rishuyos Alpi Torah. There are three Rishuyos Alpi Torah. There are four Rishuyos LaHalacha, because there is the Rishus HaRabim, there is Rishus HaYachid, and then there is a Makom Ptur. And then Midrabanan, they were misaking that most of the time a Makom Ptur has a status of a Karmelis. So what are these? What are these Rishuyos? Rishus HaYachid is something that is surrounded. Let's just say, for argument's sake, every single thing I'm going to say is subject to some discussion. But let's just take it for the way most of the maskanas go. And if you come back to me later and you tell me, oh, what you said there wasn't really accurate according to this daya, halavai, you'll show me where I'm wrong or I oversimplified. But just to get the ball rolling. So Rishus HaYachid is such that it's permissible to carry completely in Rishus HaYachid. That's any place that's surrounded by three walls. Or it could be something that has its own elevation, though, and therefore it's 10 tefachim high, 4 tefachim wide, and perhaps we have what we call virtual walls around that. We're not going to get involved with what that is right now, but that's going to come up very frequently throughout the Masechta. So that's Rishus HaYachid. You're allowed to carry as much as you want, min ha-Torah. Rishus HaRabim, so there are two problems that could be created via Rishus HaRabim. Number one is the Isser, to be ma'avir dalet amos Rishus HaRabim. You can't carry something for more than four amos in Rishus HaRabim, even if you remain in the Rishus HaRabim. And obviously, there is a problem going from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid and vice versa while carrying something. Those are both violations, min ha-Torah, on Shabbos. And Makom Patur is such that it is in the middle ground. It's a middle ground. You can put something from Rishus HaYachid into a Makom Patur and then take it from the Makom Patur into Rishus HaRabim. You can put something from Rishus HaRabim into a Makom Patur and then take it from the Makom Patur into Rishus HaYachid. So that is the Daraisa level. Most of the time, the Chachamim made a takana that the average Makom Patur would be considered a Karmelis. Karmelis is a Rishus HaRabim on a derabbanan level. Now, obviously, midaraisa, you should not be, you can't rely on any leniencies if the place is a Carmelis, but generally speaking, we're not going to get into all the different places that constitute a Carmelis. It's not that relevant to Maseches Erevin, at least not at the beginning. It is much more relevant to Maseches Shabbos. So those who learn Maseches Shabbos, you hopefully very, very familiar with all of the various places that are considered a Carmelis. There is one exception that we'll get to, and it's the major subject of the third parak, the end of the second parak, excuse me, which is the subject of a Karpaif. Karpaif is an area which is not, let's say, an open field, which is not, it has mechitzos around it, but the mechitzos, let's say on a field, are designed specifically to keep animals from eating up all the stuff that's growing in the field, or for whatever personal reasons, but it's not surrounded for the purposes of someone living inside the karpif. And under those circumstances, if it's bigger than a certain size, bigger than a base sayim, that it hold that you could plant two saws worth of seeds or worth of crops in there, which is the same size as the chatzer of the Mishkan, which was 100 amos by 50 amos, so it's bigger than 500 square amos, that is going to be Carmelis as well, even though it has walls all around it, and min ha-Torah obviously is to Rishus HaYachid. So that's one example of where you have a Rishus HaYachid min ha-Torah that is midrabanan treated as a Carmelis as well, but most of the time a Carmelis is something where it's a where it's makom tur, and then it's treated as a rishus HaRabim. Another example of a place that's technically mutter to carry because it's really rishus HaYachid, but the rabbanan treated it as a karmelis, is our opening mishnah in Maseches Erevin. So let's talk a little bit about that. That is what we call a mavui sasum. So again, we had rishus number one, which we wanted to talk about, which was rishus HaRabim. Then we have rishus HaYachid, right? So which is a place that's surrounded by three walls or more. So if you look in picture number one, you see that it's labeled Rishus HaRabim. That's the street that goes by. And then the street has going out of it this what nowadays we would probably call a cul-de-sac. It has it's a dead end area over here that it's in. You can call it an alleyway, you can call it a cul-de-sac, whatever you want to call it. So you have this mavui where everything empties out into the mavui. And that mavui, if you see the doorways over there, so there is on the left side of that picture, there's one, two, there's right side, there's two doorways as well. Those lead into a chatzer. Now, those chatzer, that's the front yard of these houses. And the batim, the houses, have doorways that open up into the chatzer. Those are, let's say, shared. Each chatzer is shared by two houses. And it doesn't have to be, but that's the standard way that they lay it out. And each chatzer is shared by two houses. They empty out into the chatzer. The chatzeros empty out into the mavui. So that's what a mavui is. And that min ha-Torah, as you can see, it has three full walls with a couple of doorways, which, as we'll see, those are batel to the walls. And therefore, it is a rishus ha-yachid min ha-Torah, generally speaking. However, the Rabbanan wanted to accentuate the fact that this is more of a public thoroughfare than just your own home or just your own chatzer even, and therefore they wanted you to be matir that chatzer, they wanted you to be matir that mavui, and they said we're going to treat it as a karmelis so that nobody accidentally, you know, you can see how easy it is to quickly, you know, you're playing a game of football or you're carrying something or whatever it is, and you're running around in the mavui carrying, because technically min ha-Torah is completely mutter, and then all of a sudden you stumble out into Rishus HaRabim and you just violated an Isser, your Chayiv and Karban Chatas at this point because you violated Shabbos Min HaTorah. So the Chachamim have no interest in anybody violating Shabbos Min HaTorah, and therefore they said you're not allowed to carry in the Mavui, even though Min HaTorah it's considered Rishus HaYachid. We're going to call it a Karmelis, and therefore we're going to treat it like it's a Rishus HaRabim, unless you fix it in one of two possible ways. What are the possible ways you can fix it? So if you look at picture number two, the one way to fix it is to put a lechi. So a lechi is this pole. You can see it's labeled there as a lechi. It's a pole. Now, again, there's different shittas, as you'll see in the Gemara, how big the pole has to be. Generally speaking, it has to be 10 tefachim tall, and it has to be, has no shear of width or thickness whatsoever. There are other opinions on that, but we paskin, it has no shear of thickness whatsoever. It just has to be able to stand or be attached to the wall. Now, that is one way to be misakin it. The second way is, if you look in picture number three, there is a korah. A korah is a beam. It's a cross beam that you put atop the front of the mavoi that comes in from Shasarabim it comes in from Shasarabim to the mavoi, and therefore you have fixed it one way with a lechi, one way with a korah. Now again, these are all subject to discussion, but generally speaking, the rule is lechi mishum machitza, korah mishum hekera. Now, this is one of the times where it's one of the Yal Kagam, according to Rashi, where we have a machlokas and bayav rava. How does a lechi function? How does a korah function? No, again, the way we paskin, a lechi is considered as if you put up a fourth wall over there. It's a halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, that if you put up the lechi, that's like there is a full mechitza going across the front of the mavoi, and that is good enough on a doraisa level to solve the problem, as we'll come back to that in a second, why we would need a doraisa solution to the rabbanon problem, but it is a doraisa solution to a rabbanon problem. Korah is mishum heker, or mishum hekera. That korah is just so when you walk towards the outing of the mavui into Rosh Hashanah, you're going to look up, you're going to see that korah, and you're going to remember, oh, I can't carry from the mavui into Rosh Hashanah, and it's going to create a heker, and that's why the opening Mishnah says if it's too tall, you won't see it, and thus you have to lower it in order that it's a proper heker. So again, lechi is a mechitza, korah is a heker, but midrabbana, they both work the same way. Now, where would there be a difference? There would be a difference if you had what we call a mavui mifulash. So I didn't give you a picture because, again, I was apprehensive about copying too many of these pictures. They told me I could copy one picture, so that's what I did. Imagine the back wall, back in picture number one, imagine the back wall of the mavui not existing, and it was basically a through street. So it was a back alleyway. When I grew up in Kew Garden Hills, they had these back alleys where you could go through the street. And you can go down one side of the alley, and you come out the other side of the alley, and you're on you went through the whole block down the middle. So that would be what we call a mavui mafulash. There's no wall. It's only two walls on the side, and that is open to Rishus HaRabim on each side. That would likely be considered, according to most opinions, to be a Rishus HaRabim mida oraisa. So perhaps on a d'oraisa level, if you would put a lechi on one side of that, you would be fixing it with a third mechitza. If you put a korah on one side of that, you wouldn't necessarily be doing anything. And thus, if you considered a mavui mefulish to be a d'oraisa problem, you would need a d'oraisa solution to a d'oraisa problem by putting up a lechi over there. And as we'll see, there are different variations of mavuis. There are different, we call mavuos, right? There are different variations of lechis and korahs, and that's what's going to come up throughout the Masechta and how we, but essentially, if you know these basic terms, you'll be good to go going forward. One last term that comes up in the Mishnah, I didn't make the copy because it's on the next page in the book, but you should get yourself a copy of the book, is a Tzuras HaPesach. Now, what we would call nowadays the Yiddish term for an Eruv, that is what we call a Tzuras HaPesach. What is a Tzuras HaPesach? It's a doorway. A doorway, and it's defined as a Kana Mikan, V'Kana Mikan, V'Kana Al Gabeim. So if you go back to picture number two, let's say the lechi, for example. Imagine the lechi, or just think of what you would call an eruv if you ever see an eruv with the two poles and the string. So that is a kanamikan. It's a vertical pole on one side, a vertical pole on the other side, and a pole going across the top. We use fishing line usually because it just holds up better, but technically it could be a pole or anything like that. That is a tsuras ha-pesach. That also works on a daraisa level, based on a halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai, that the tsuras ha-pesach is considered as if it's a wall. Other issues that are helpful in knowing this is pirtza yeser me-eser. So let's say you had a wall, and it got knocked down, or part of it was open. If that opening in the wall, assuming that the majority of the wall, meaning even with this opening, the majority of the wall is filled in, it's not that what it's called paritz merubala omed, it's not that there's more open space than there is wall. The volume of the wall is greater than the volume of the opening. So I don't know if volume was the right term to use there, but if the amount of filled in space is more than the amount of open space, we say that the opening that's less than 10 amos wide counts as a doorway. If that counts as a doorway, then the mechitza is considered to be still in existence, and thus it is still valid. All right, that's the basic. Again, I'm leaving out more than I'm saying, but that's the basic layout to what you have to know to learn these opening mishnayos. Now, just to go forward, one other point which did come up in Masechta Shabbos from time to time. Even once everything is very much a rishus hayachid, you fixed it with a lechi, you fixed it with a korah, you still need to do an additional tikkun. That tikkun is known as an eruv in the Mishnah, eruv chatzeros. So an eruv chatzeros means that, let's say you look at picture number one, there are two houses that share a particular chatzer. So if I want to be able to carry my stuff into the chatzer together with my friend and be able to move things from my house to his house through the chatzer, we have to do something to make it as if we are living together. And therefore, we make an eruv. Let's just say, for argument's sake, you take a box of matzahs, you take some kind of type of a bread, mazon shtei seudos, you have enough food for two meals, and you make each other, you share it with the other person, and you leave it in one of the two houses in the chatzer to say that we are joining together our rishus. We're basically saying that we're living this Shabbos together as one, and thus we're able to carry from one to the other. Again, if you would do so without an eruv, it's an isur de rabbanan min haTorah. Obviously, a chatzer that's surrounded by walls is considered a rishus hayachid, and there's no problem. But the chachamim didn't want you carrying from one person's property to another person's property without some sort of reminder that you're not supposed to traverse rishuyos on Shabbos, and therefore they necessitated making an eruv. There's also something called an eruv tchumen, which we'll leave out for now. We'll deal with that at a later date. Then on the secondary level, the eruv version that applies to multiple chatzeros that are sharing a mavoi is called the shituf mavuos. It's essentially the same thing as an eruv. However, it doesn't just work for the houses sharing a chatzer. It works for all of the people living in the mavoi, and all the chatzeros that are living in the mavoi want to carry from one to the other, and they want to be able to, you know, traverse the whole area while carrying. So in addition to the general heter to carry while walking in the mavoi, if I want to be able to take something from my chatzer and go into my friend's chatzer, so we make a shituf, which is like a secondary eruv, and we leave that in one of the chatzeros that's in the mavoi, and we take the same box of matzahs, we leave it in one of the chatzeros sheba mavoi, then we're allowed to carry from each one of the chatzeros into another one of the chatzeros through the middle of the mavi. Again, a lot more to say. Be'ezras Hashem, it's going to be great learning Masechas Erevin. I just wanted to give you a little bit of an introduction so you could be a little less intimidated when you see these words and know what they are. And Be'ezras Hashem, we should have tremendous hatzlacha in our learning.